So Chelsea, Brad, both of y'all live in College Station?
Uh-huh.
Nope, I live in Bryan.
Oh, okay, never mind. All right, Brad.
Yes.
Chuck Gilman's here this morning. Brad, he's the deputy city manager. So do you have a question for the deputy city manager?
Do I have a question about the city of College Station for the deputy city manager?
Yeah, no,
everything's going pretty good for me.
Hey, all right. Okay, we're done, Chuck.
Thanks for having me. It's been great. I appreciate it. I'll see you in 6 months.
Okay. Okay, well, no, that's fine. I just wanted to ask him.
Can you make it any less hot?
Can't help you there.
Oh. No, can't do that. Okay. Well, it's thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is normally the mayor's slot. Mayor's not available, and I'm tired of looking at Kelly Templin, so I said, well, let's bring Chuck in. Let's find out what's going on.
So now you get the C team.
Yeah, there
you go. You get the B team, you get the C team.
Hey, I know that in workshop later this week, y'all are going to present a survey that you did. Mailed out 8,000 of them, and you asked people to respond, and some of them did, and then you also had it out on email. So you got, about 2,000 people responded?
We did.
About right?
We did. Pretty good participation.
Yeah. I don't know that there's anything necessarily unusual. What jumped out at you as far as that survey was concerned?
There was a lot of feedback that we expected in the survey and the results. It's always good to push this kind of survey out to the citizens and see what kind of feedback we get.
Yeah.
We think we know what we need to be focused in on. It's sometimes good to hear back from our customers and hear from them so they know. So we know specifically what it is that's on their mind. Two things that really jumped out at us was traffic congestion and street maintenance.
Yeah.
These are items we've been working on for a while. Nothing new here. excuse me. Obviously, we had come back and provided funds. Council supported an initiative in public works several years ago. We called it the ITS, or the Intelligent Transportation or Traffic System.
Yeah.
This came in and changed out all of the technology in the cabinets that allowed us to collect better traffic data.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us more control and monitoring capabilities over those signals. And it also provides a traffic management center that we will man with staff from Public Works, a traffic engineer, with support from the university as well as TTI on game day. So there's been a big investment to help us optimize that system and help it operate and function better. But at the end of the day, it comes down to needing more capacity.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because you're right. Okay, so seven or eight Saturdays, you know, it's horrible out there, and you want to get home as quickly as you can, and hopefully people understand that here in Bryan College Station. People from Houston are used to that world. But tell me what other uses you have for this traffic system that justifies the expense that was involved there. How's it used the other 350 days of the year?
Well, it's actually used every day. So what it is, we collect a lot of data that allows us to optimize the signal timings. So if you were to start at one end of Texas Avenue, assuming you were able to travel the posted speed limit, you should be able to go from University to Deacon and hit all green lights. If you're in the right-hand lane where there's a lot of turning movements and you don't continue to travel at the posted speed, you won't hit all green lights. But there's some data that we collect that helps us better time those signals and optimize that system. excuse me. Technology is also there. Some of the cameras that you see up there, they're not there monitoring speeds or writing tickets for running red lights.
Okay. Dang, we lost that. I know. Okay. Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
It really was. That's the way I look at it.
So,
anyway.
Yeah. So what those cameras do, those guys, what it detects vehicles that may be at the intersection. So if I roll up to the intersection, if I'm headed to the gym and I pull up to the intersection at 5 o'clock and there's no one approaching the intersection, the signal will recognize I'm the only one there. It'll immediately give me the green. If we get a signal that malfunctions for some reason, the signal falls into recall and it flashes red, we have the ability with the technology that's there to troubleshoot that signal from the traffic control center rather than sending out some of our field crews. So
are you telling me that the travel time or the light system is different on June 21st than it will be on July 21st?
Not that close.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
For the summer months, so. Our folks in traffic.
Okay, then let me say September 21st, then it might be different then when you have more students on the road.
It might be, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll look at individual timing plans for special events, specifically for special events. So, but as travel flow picks up on some of our major corridors when students are back, some of those timing plans may get tweaked a little bit as we see changes in travel patterns. We see changes in number of vehicles maybe on the roadway. Game day, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Everyone is headed to one destination. So, pretty unique, and we've been partnering with TTI and Texas A&M University to help make game day a better experience for those that live here as well as those visitors that come to watch the Aggies play football.
Sure.
So we'll have the timing set up so that you have increased green time for all these vehicles traveling to Kyle Field, and when the game is over, we want green times going away.
So sure.
We enjoy them coming to College Station. Enjoy your experience.
But, and your money, please. And,
please stop and eat and buy T-shirts. But we're ready for you to leave as soon as you're ready to go. Yeah. We want to help you get back to your home just as soon as we can. So
that's a problem. So let's move on to that. That's congestion, and that's development, and that's growth. Again, what Northgate is now and what Northgate was 20 years ago or 30 years ago is a completely different situation. And I don't know, I guess maybe you thought that there'd be a couple of high rises and maybe some high density, but in your wildest dreams, did you think that 2016, this is what Northgate would look like even 10 years ago?
I don't know that we did. The city had a vision, a long-range vision for this to be a very urban environment. It was intended to be very dense, promote walkability, give it more of a downtown feel. You had the wider sidewalks, limited parking for commercial. They wanted the density, and it's come, and it created some challenges and some opportunities. Since you have dense residential housing, you have a different nightlife that has a different level of expectations, and then you have special game day events, parents' weekend, graduation, et cetera. So. The density and for the student housing has created some challenges as we look at some safety for pedestrians crossing University Drive and cyclists.
Sure.
We've had an ongoing project. We've been partnering with the university and TxDOT and many local businesses over there to widen sidewalks, create better signal timings and better signal head. They call them ped heads, but they're pedestrian traffic signals, if you will. Providing crosswalks on each side of the intersection. So safety is certainly a big issue.
I'm thinking what we see in Northgate is what you'd like to be able to continue to push down University Drive and even at some point over across Texas onto East University Drive as you develop more. But it's hot. I mean, I don't know that – as I've said to any number of people from College Station, if you wear Levi's and you drive a dually, you're really not going to want to get in a car with five other guys and drive over to here so you can walk around. So, I mean – that's a human nature thing. What do you do to address that?
Well, it's human nature thing. It's a Texas thing, too. I mean,
sure.
There's certainly other areas around the country that are willing to carpool or use mass transit. That's just not not how we do it.
Not us,
so,
right.
No, absolutely. So I think we'll continue to see density in Northgate and in that area that we might call from South College back towards Welburn, where you have a walkability. But you're right, you're probably not going to have individuals who will drive to one area and then get out and walk around. Although the new development there, Tower Point,
that's going to occur. Well, what I'm thinking that of east of University Drive east of Texas, University Drive west of Texas, first there. I mean, you're looking at walkability there. You want that to happen, right?
Right.
Okay, so in reality, if it doesn't, we're still in the same problems that we've had?
No, and I think some of it will. I mean, I think initially some of the commercial developments you see there at the bottom of University and Texas have been a little bit slow to take off. I pulled in there, not being familiar, takes a little while to get used to parking garage. Where do I go?
Mm-hmm.
Is it easy to maneuver? The space is wide enough. Every garage is different, and reluctancy to go in and try that. It's very easy to park in there, very easy to get around. I think with a little bit of wayfinding and some signage and people would be more willing to come in and park there. But for those that want to come in and spend the evening, say you want to come in and you want to catch a movie or you want to go bowling and you want to have dinner, then I think some of that density in some of these areas north of the university will allow people to do that,
mm-hmm.
Whether you want to do a night out for a movie or a dinner,
sure.
Or if you want to come in and do shopping, hit a few different stores, grab something to eat.
Okay. Chuck Gilman joining us this morning from the city of College Station. He's the deputy city manager. Tower Point, the other situation, it's growing south. College Station obviously growing that way. We knew there was an anchor that HEB was going to be there. And now they're literally moving dirt almost nonstop. It's changing month by month, new signs going up about what's going in. Again, you kind of had a general idea, but now how does that specificity come in as we start to see actually what kind of stores are going to be wearing that part of the development?
Yeah, you're right, Scott. There's several new businesses that will open down in Tower Point. Gold's Gym, PetSmart, Freddy's, Bahama Bucks, just a few. Once HEB came in there, there are a lot of other commercial developments that will follow that. And that's really market-driven. I think whenever that area developed, no one ever knew for a fact that we were going to have a Saltgrass or we were going to have a Bahama Box. So in some sense, it's responding to the market. There are a lot of businesses that can be profitable and flourish down in that area. So we have more residential rooftops. And so as it builds out and develops, we never knew, the city never knew. I'm not sure the developer had a definitive vision for every single business that would go in there, but it's certainly continuing to grow. That whole area is, has been very successful in the last 3 to 5 years, and I'm sure it will continue to do so.
Obviously, all the numbers coming out of the U.S. Census Bureau, Texas is continuing to explode amazingly as fast as we're growing here in Bryan College Station. I don't know, we're even in the top 10. I mean, there's a bunch of places in Texas that are growing very dramatically. Mm-hmm. What we have that is different is now the development of College Station is actually an abutment to the university. So, for instance, out around Welborn Road in that area, and then we've got 3,000 new dorm beds that have just been developed. What kind of situation does that create for the city when you are dealing with a university that basically is going to do what the university is going to do, and yet you may need to provide some support services there?
Well, we do coordinate and cooperate very well with the university. As they continue to grow, it certainly has an impact on us, primarily on transportation. But to your point, Scott, and the dorms, if it's not a dorm, it's a private dorm that is being proposed, actually being constructed over off of Jones Butler. If at the end of the day, those students are coming to Texas A&M, they're coming to College Station. So either they live in a development that was provided by the university, or they live in our neighborhoods, and they're renting homes or they're renting apartments and others. So they're coming. And so we have to be able to respond to that. So it does provide some challenges for us on the transportation front, providing adequate thoroughfares and roadways for those projects that touch our system or touch TxDOT's system. But with the transportation also comes the safety. Ideally, though, if those students are living in Northgate or just off of West Campus, they're more likely to walk to class, ride a bike to class. And granted, August and September, all bets are off. It's 105 degrees in the shade. I'm probably going to hop in the truck and drive over anyway.
Right,
but
right.
But it gives them the opportunity, which if they're that much closer, more likely to ride a bike, more likely to walk. It takes 1, 2, 3, 10, a dozen more vehicles off the road.
So the Jones-Butler development, and it's going to jump across, and it's going to continue to move down Welborn Road, I presume. Well, again, is the infrastructure in place? I know the roads aren't wide enough to necessarily handle that. So where do you go now? Because, again, that was a game changer for you, and you're going to have to do some of that on the fly. So how can you respond quickly as a city to be prepared as that higher density comes in?
As some of those areas develop, now those developments that are on the campus, the utilities are provided by the university. Mm-hmm. So the water and the sewer capacity and the power really doesn't put a strain or a burden on us. It comes down to the thoroughfares. So in some areas, we may need to improve capacity. We may need to improve walkability. In some instances, A&M may be able to run buses by that area to provide some additional pickup. That would certainly help.
Have they offered to, or have you asked?
We've not specifically asked about the development on Jones-Butler. There's some development, as you know, off of Holloman as the student housing continues to spread on the other side of 2018. We've seen a lot of residential development geared towards student housing on the other side of 2018 down Holloman. And we've entered into some discussions with the university about providing bus service down to those areas. The new Aspen Heights that was proposed and approved by the city council 6 months or so ago, and then further down towards the barracks. And so they too understand that the student population is growing and sprawling out, and we work very well with Peter Lang and Doug Williams and the folks at Transportation Services, and they know they have to respond to some of that growth, and they know they have to provide those services to the students, and it just becomes a challenge of trying to keep up.
It just becomes more places where the townies don't want to go. So what else in the survey? Obviously, traffic and streets are the two top things that people are concerned about. What else came out of the survey that you saw that you think council is going to want to move on?
Yeah, I think the other area where we could possibly improve upon code enforcement. I think as with any community, there's pretty high expectations, and the quality is a little bit lower than I think than what we would like. And some of that comes down to we've got a growing community in the sense of not only full-time residents but also students, and understanding what is a code enforcement. And although it may be a violation of your HOA rules, it's not necessarily a code violation of the city.
Interesting. Yeah.
So those become a balancing act for the city. We're not going to come in and enforce deed restrictions or HOA rules. That's really HOA's business, and we're going to stay out of their business. We're going to focus on what is a code violation. So some of these areas, there could be some opportunities for improvement from the city standpoint. There may also be some opportunities for additional education to help our community better understand what is within our boundaries to enforce and what's really an HOA rules and things that individual neighborhoods need to focus in on.
Yeah. Well, and again, I don't want it to necessarily always fall on students. There's certainly people who've lived here forever who don't take care of their property. So, you know, right. that happens. Anything else that you want to cover? Oh, actually, wait, before we go on, Munson was going to, you were going to start doing some rework on Munson, mm-hmm. I think, and has that started yet? Because it was due to start last week, is that right? And Rock Prairie, was that the other?
Rock Prairie Road West.
Okay, right.
You'll notice the four new large wood poles set at the intersection of Longmire. What that's allowing the contractor to do is put up a temporary signal.
Mm-hmm.
Those poles, I think, were being set yesterday. So there's a little bit of preparatory work that has to take place. It would be nice if we could go in and just start ripping up concrete and line up those trucks and start pouring this afternoon.
Because there's no traffic on Rock Prairie.
No, or Munson.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Two very important projects. Rock Prairie and Longmire is really more of a capacity issue and also a safety issue. There's a lot of vehicles there. There's a lot of turning movements, a lot of commercial businesses that people want to access. So Rock Prairie, very important. Also Munson. Munson carries a lot of traffic, but it's a long going and has been for a long time maintenance issue. So two very important projects. They will appear to start slow as the contractor orders pipe. They begin to relocate third-party utilities. We get materials on hand, and as things ramp up, you begin to see more and more activity. So those are certainly underway. It's always good to try to start those in the summer when our traffic volumes are a little bit lower. It'd be nice if we could finish in 3 months, but that's just not a reality.
Yeah, I hear you. Anything else you want to share with us this morning?
A couple things, if you don't mind.
Sure.
A very successful project. As you know, we recently changed our recycling from the bag system to the bin system.
Yeah.
We've now collected 3 months' worth of data, and I'm pleased to report our diversion rate has gone from 4% to 10%. So
That's pretty significant.
It is. We've always had a high participation rate, meaning we have a lot of people who may put out one bag, but now we have a little bit more participation, but we have more stuff going.
Do you have any tonnage or weight or volume numbers specifically besides percentage?
I do. I'll have to email those to you.
No, okay. I just wondered. But it sounds like, at least from a growth standpoint, that's pretty good.
Yeah, very, very much so. Also want to compliment our Parks and Recreation Department. The College Station last weekend hosted the U.S. Youth Soccer Region 3 President's Cup. Had about 2,400 athletes, 5,500 visitors, 120 teams from 11 different states. Mm. All descended upon College Station for soccer. So very, very successful weekend. A lot of very happy customers.
You bring that many hungry teenagers in, that's a good thing.
That's
right?
Exactly right. Fill the restaurants and fill the hotels and buy a T-shirt while you're here. So,
yeah, so
very good news. Lots of good things happening in College Station.
Good. Thanks for the time this morning.
I sure appreciate you having me.
You bet. That's Chuck Gilman. He's the Deputy City Manager of the City of College Station. It's our community segment brought to you by Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Agency, serving your insurance needs since 1936 with honesty and integrity.